What do you want to play, Sam?
We're going to play Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We're all going to sing it, too.
Welcome you into another edition of Meet Me at Mutual. I'm your host, as you know, C70 at the Bat, Daniel Chaputaw at C70 on Twitter, and usually we've got Alan Medlock from the Redbird Daily sitting over in this virtual co-host chair because he's usually at Oklahoma and I don't really actually see him. But Alan was feeling it after a long week, and so we went to the bullpen. And we've got Moose Michaels of the 2 for 3 podcast joining us tonight. Moose, how are you today?
I'm good. I'm a lot better than the Cardinals are. Or I should be. The Cardinals always seem very happy whether they win or lose. So maybe we're in good company. I don't know.
Yeah, and that's and unfortunately there's been a whole lot more losing than winning over the last week or so. And there's a lot of issues that we're going to get into tonight because and most of them are not exciting and happy and fun ones. But one that is probably been the bright spot of the whole week because you have him from Sunday night's game and then tonight's game is Jack Flaherty, who right now has kind of stepped up as that stopper that we were seeing Miles Michaelis be earlier in the year, and that Carlos Martinez should be that isn't, and that's another issue. You know, he throws 5 scoreless innings against Cubs. He takes a no-hitter into the 7th tonight before giving up a home run. Of course, the Cardinals eventually lose tonight against the Brewers, but still, it's been interesting to see his development on the major league scale, especially because earlier in the year he had some rough spots.
Yeah, he did. Still, it's nice to see him come up, though. Now, we can talk about this a little bit more. And I'm kind of mentioned this on Twitter. In fact, if you've seen any of my tweets here lately, that's just a vitriol is all it is. But, Carlos Martinez, I don't think he's the ace of this staff. And I don't think he's ever been, well, he's the ace as in he's the best pitcher they got, but he's not an ace. I think Jack Flaherty's one of those guys that could become an ace. He's not an ace right now, but he could become an ace later on. And it's encouraging to see, but it's going to come down to him and Jack Flaherty. It's going to come down to Jack and Miles Michaelis to really kind of shoulder a lot of this stuff, I think.
Yeah, it probably will. I don't know that I would go as far as say as Carlos wasn't an ace. I mean, you look at what that run that he was putting together before he got hurt, where he had, you know, 7 starts and an ERA under 1. But that being said, there are times where he does tend to, you know, fall apart, and that's what he's done since he's got back. We'll definitely get into that situation because that's a huge thing for the Cardinals. But I have him Flaherty up here. I mean, this is what, the second time this year he struck out 13 batters. You know, you never know for sure how deep he's going to go, but so far you're right. I mean, he seems to be the guy that they're going to rely on, and it's kind of funny because you know, at the beginning of the year he was the 6th starter, and right now, for the fact that he's young and for the fact that he's still got some experience to gain, you know, he might be he's definitely the most dynamic guy in the bullpen or in the rotation right now.
Absolutely. 7 innings, 1 hit, 1 earned run, 2 walks, 13 strikeouts. Now that 1 run was a home run, so that kind of stinks, but you know, and I'm not trying to parrot Matheny here, but even though they lost, what you see out of Jack Flaherty tonight is exactly what you want to see. You know, that's the kind of loss that, no loss is good, but that's the kind of thing, it's a little bit easier to swallow than last night's game. So, one of the takeaways, Flaherty is, he was dealing tonight.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and, you know, let's see, I'm kind of looking at his game log here. You know, he gave up 3 against the Pirates early on. He gave up 4 against the Pirates last time around. And he gave up Well, they gave up the 6 against Miami. That's really a bad start. But other than that, I mean, it's been one run or no runs. He's got to get deeper into games most of the time. I mean, he's doing a lot of 5-inning things, but you know, this is pretty impressive. I know a lot of people have been big on Flaherty, and you know, watched him come up last year, and I just wasn't 100% sure that I could see that because he did struggle. But there's a reason that these people know more about these minor league prospects than I do, and he's definitely taken that step, and we'll see if he can continue to develop. But it's been, you know, at least every 5 days there's something interesting to watch.
Absolutely. And he heals it down there in Memphis, too, when he's down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, although I don't think he'll be seeing that. He won't be seeing that anytime soon. You know, we had that debate of what was going to happen when Alex Reyes came back. And, you know, obviously, unfortunately, that's not an issue anymore. But I think even now, there's no returning Jack Flaherty to Memphis for anything at all, unless something really weird happens. All right, well, let's go ahead and take our turns in the rotation. You know, Michael Wacha gets hurt this week. He goes on the 10-day DL with an oblique strain. You know, yeah, I always find those things to be kind of scary because they seem to be ones that linger. What's your outlook on Wacha right now?
I'd feel bad for him. He shows up in 2013, and he's this guy that everybody just loves. He's just mowing people down. It seems like what 2014 was a little bit rough. 2015, he got started off good. And then after that, it's just injury. And to me, it's just another setback in a guy that who was, I guess, originally the next Adam Wainwright, or that's what they wanted him to be. And then now he's hurt all the time. More than anything, I feel bad for him, but I got a feeling when he comes back, I don't know that he's going to have the same stuff that he did, especially if this trend continues of players not being honest about their health.
Yeah,
that's the only thing that makes me nervous about it.
Yeah, there's you know, that's been a discussion quite a bit, and it's still out there. I think both Martinez's you could raise that question about right now. Obviously, we had that question with Alex Reyes. We've had that with Adam Wainwright. You know, there's been a lot of stories about how Jordan Hicks is very good about telling them what he's, you know, what he's feeling, but you know, again, you're trusting the player, and I guess it's such a fine line, because unless the person is, you know, just obviously hurt or obviously, you know, there's physical issues, sometimes you have to take them at their word, and players are not going to be honest because they want to play, or they don't want to lose their job, or they think they can make it through. And it's got to be hard. You know, I'm not really absolving Matheny and the kitching staff or the training staff and stuff like that, but it's got to be somewhat difficult to help someone that won't tell you they're hurting.
The injury stuff, yeah, I don't think you can put it at Matheny's feet. Mm-hmm. I mean, Reyes not being honest with him about it. Apparently, Reyes was hurt days before he made that start.
Yeah.
Wainwright, you know, you got to take a look at it from Wainwright's point of view. He's not feeling good. He's in the last year of a deal that let's be honest, the Cardinals probably aren't going to re-sign him. If anything, he probably retires at the end of the year, just based on what I'm seeing right now. Carlos Martinez, he's probably feeling the pressure from this deal he's got. He's trying to be the ace, so he feels like he probably can't say he's hurt, when really they should be stepping up like, hey, listen, this ain't right. I'm sorry, but we got to figure this out, or it's just going to end up hurting the team. Now, Matheny leaving them in there, like, well past when you should pull him, that you can put at his feet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, in Reyes, I still think that Reyes was going to get hurt no matter. It just sounded like that was already in process, even if he had told them. I don't know that there was much they could have done about it. But I don't know, you know, because I think that what we hear is that the organization does their best, or is trying to at least create an atmosphere where people can be honest and tell them that. But like you're saying, there's other options. There's other things that influence that. You know, if it's the last year of a contract, if it's a young guy wanting to make sure he doesn't lose a job, if it's a young guy that doesn't even know that he's hurt. I mean, it may be just, hey, I'm just a little extra sore, but I've got to get through this. Because, you know, baseball does tend to frown on people that sit out for handballs and stuff like that. you know, I don't know how that all balances. It's too bad. And maybe as technological developments come along and they can do a little bit better job of, you know, getting some baselines and things like that, they can know more about what these players are going through. But right now, they just got to go by what they see on the field to some degree. And, you know, it hasn't seemed to be an issue. Like, again, I guess we just go right into Carlos Martinez. Four outings since he came off the disabled list, none of which have looked good. He has walked like five batters or more in three of them, and the one that he didn't, he got beat around the yard because he was throwing strikes that were hittable. And I know his defense didn't help him out last night, but still, it's not been, I mean, I think anybody else, we kind of start looking at that and say, maybe he came off the DL hurt. Maybe he wasn't fully healthy. But so far the Cardinals either can't find anything wrong or don't, you know, are taking him at his word that he's fine. But when you look at those results, to me, it feels difficult to say he's 100%.
Well, okay, so you can break this down a couple of different ways. If he comes up to him and tells him that he's fine, mm-hmm. and he really is fine, and he's pitching like he pitched last night, then yeah, I put this out on Twitter, and I really hope it's not the case. The way he was pitching last night, it almost looked like he had the yips. You know, he was afraid of hurting himself again, so he's overthinking, he's getting inside his own head, and I hope, because you'll come across some people, they think the yips are a joke. They think it's a real thing.
Yeah, Rick Ankiel,
Rick Ankiel. Who's the first baseman for the Nationals when he was over at third base? Ryan Zimmerman. Yeah, he had it too. And so it's either that or he's lying or he's just losing his stuff. Martinez is, and if you get on Twitter, you'll see some people that are saying we just need to trade Carlos Martinez. I'm not going to advocate trading Carlos Martinez. That's stupid. He's on a pretty team-friendly deal, number one. But number two, while I don't think he's an ace, he's still an incredibly good pitcher when he's on, and you don't want to give that up. Yeah, you just don't. So I don't know if he needs to take some rehab starts to try to get right. I don't know if it's a clubhouse culture thing in which he doesn't feel that, because I can't remember where I read it at, but there was some people talking about how there's some whispers that players are punished for being hurt or something to that effect. And so they may be keeping it to themselves because they want to get that playing time. And we'll get into all this, I'm sure, but at the heart of this thing with Martinez, too, it leads into a whole other thing about the culture inside the clubhouse, which is there's something wrong. There's something that's connecting all these things together.
Yeah, and again, you get into a clubhouse culture, you start looking at the guy that leads it. And again, I know it's very easy. I think everybody kind of, a lot of people, especially on Twitter, their default is it's all Matheny's fault and we should fire Matheny and all that kind of stuff. And I've never been one like that. I'm not necessarily a huge Matheny supporter, but I don't know that, you know, everything can be laid at his feet or if he has to be fired. But you look at, you know, what this club has looked like over the last few days, and then you look at, you know, and I wrote about this morning, you look at last night. Last night was the worst game, the most embarrassing game that this team has put together in quite some time. I mean, errors and bad pitching and no hitting and everything that can go wrong went wrong in that game. And then Matheny comes out after the game, and yeah, you can kind of tell he's a little upset, but he's still not, at least not in public. I don't know what he did in the clubhouse. But he's not turning over verbally turning over chairs or, you know, saying, putting people on an account or saying this is not acceptable or anything like that. He's like, you know, it was a bad game. It's a game we didn't like or whatever. And it felt like he should do more.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, no, go ahead. No, I think that, because the next thing I want to talk about is tonight's game and what he did tonight, and we'll move on to that. But, I mean, what are you thinking about that? Did his results, when he came out last night, did that bother you a bit?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it absolutely did, because there's two things that happened. Number one, I mean, we've got it down to the science now. He's going to say one of five things, you know. they made pitches. They made pitches. Okay, cool. Their guy was really on tonight. And real fast, isn't it kind of funny how all these bad starters are always on when they're facing the Cardinals? They can't do anything with any other team. They face the Cardinals and just mow them down.
Yeah.
All right, that's number one. But number two, and this is what really honestly ticked me off. He's like, well, we got it within five runs. We got close. How are you going to come out after a game like that and say, oh, yeah, we got close. We were within five runs. What?
Yeah.
Like that comment alone, and I've met Mike. He's a super nice guy. But that comment alone is just, how does he have a job after a comment like that? I mean, oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, it was like, yeah, you got it within five runs at one point, and you know, five runs can happen like that in this ballpark, basically what he was saying. It's like, not with this lineup and not with Milwaukee's bullpen, because I mean, if you start to put something together, and we saw this tonight, they run Josh Hader out there and he basically strikes out everybody and that's it. You know, you're not facing the Cardinal bullpen or whatever. So that was such a stretch.
Everything about that was wrong.
Yeah, and it's Matheny. He looks for whatever silver lining he can find, and to some degree that's admirable. But there comes a point where you've just got to get mad. I think that's the degree, and that's what it comes to tonight. Brings me to tonight's game. And I know you. I don't know. You didn't have a chance to necessarily listen to some of the early part, maybe. But first inning. Carpenter leads off with a double, moves to third on a wild pitch. But Tommy Pham takes a strike, strike three. It was inside pitch. Looked like it was a ball. Tommy thought it was ball. Everybody thought it was ball. It was a strike to the umpire. Pham goes back. They get Martinez out, but says, well, Ozuna's batting. They throw Tommy Pham out from the dugout. Now, he obviously was still talking to the umpire. He obviously was complaining, and he obviously said some things that he shouldn't have said, at least in the umpire's point of view. But so the umpire throws him out, and Matheny comes out to argue. And my feeling is, right then, your team is obviously sluggish. You've had your best player tossed out on a crazy thing, something that, you know, really shouldn't have been thrown out for, as far as we could tell. I mean, you know, it was, you get out there and you yell and scream till you're tossed out too, because, you know, you got to stand up for your player. And Matheny went out and he said a few words to him, and, you know, he might have gotten a little bit, you know, like a one or a two on a 10 scale aggravation, and then he turned around and walked back to the dugout. And I'm like, you just can't do that. I just don't feel like you can. You've got to stand up for your player in that regard, especially when your team kind of needs that kick in the pants.
No, they absolutely do. He goes out there and he's like a high school guidance counselor. That's what he acts like. He's like, well, I'll go out and talk to him. Problem is, you argue balls and strikes with the home plate umpire, it's an automatic ejection. Mm-hmm. I mean, just automatically. And if Matheny was smart, in fact, you're right. If Matheny had been smart, if he really wanted to like get this team fired up, that's what managers do. They get themselves thrown out automatically. They get themselves thrown out to try to fire up the team. Mm-hmm. I didn't see that. I saw something about Pham getting thrown out from the dugout, and I'm like, what is going on? This whole thing, this whole leader of men thing, and I like Mike. I think he's, I think he's a great guy. But just based on what I'm seeing, I think he's lost the team. I really do. I don't think, and you know what stinks is I really like Mike Maddox, right? Mm-hmm. But I feel like if they do the major changes that people are talking about, they're all gone. Like, we're going to see like a complete overhaul.
I don't know about that, just because of the guys, like you said, they just brought in. And I think they brought them in because they were trying to shore up Matheny, and they're basically giving him one last shot. It's kind of my feeling. I think that even if they did, something midseason, which I don't think they will, but if they did, I think it Mabry and Matheny would go. I think they would keep everybody else. Because again, you're right. They went out and really heavily recruited Maddox. I think they were, you know, more likely to keep Maddox than they are anybody else. I mean, the rest of that crew, you know, Okendo and Willie, obviously, they're not going anywhere. But, you know, I think there's some merit there. We heard some rumors last year about some clubhouse dissension as well. And again, we said at the time, Matheny was hired to manage personalities. He was there to manage people. And if he learned baseball tactics along the way, it was well and good. If he hasn't necessarily learned all the tactics we'd like. I think he's gotten better over the 7 years, but I there's still room for improvement. But if he's not managing the personalities, and if he's not managing to get people fired up and wanting to play, then there's a serious question of what he's still doing here.
You know, and when you think about it too, and I know I'm kind of flip-flopping back and forth, you can't lay this all at Matheny's feet. You really can't. Because there's, and part of this could be because Matheny has lost the team, but you know, there's rumors out there that Fowler wants out of St. Louis. And in my opinion, good riddance, go away. But, you know, you've got that one. You've got, and there, part of the reason I say Carlos Martinez isn't an ace is his personality. The way that he doesn't seem to be able to persevere through a lot of what's going on whenever he has, you know, trouble on the mound. It's kind of what, and I don't know if you know what this is about. Maybe it wasn't anything, but it looked like Jose Martinez was chewing Carlos Martinez out in the dugout last night.
Mm-mm.
I mean, all over it. No one ever said anything else about it. You probably won't ever hear it because stuff like that, unless there's like a brawl in the dugout, you tend to not know what that was about. But he was fired up about something. So you got Fowler doing that. You got Pham, you know, in Sports Illustrated running off the mouth about the Cardinals. And I feel like a guy like Tony La Russa, a guy even like Joe Girardi, I'm not advocating for him to come to St. Louis. I know he's a name that gets thrown out there a lot. You feel like a lot of that would have been clamped down, that there would have been a meeting like, hey, this is going to stop. You know, you almost need somebody like the guy with the A's in the 70s, Dick Williams. You almost need somebody like that to come in and like, guys, listen, I'm the manager. You going to do what I'm going to tell you to do, and I ain't going to hear another word about it, or you can get on the bus back down the minor leagues, or we'll ship you out. And Matheny's unwilling to do that.
Yeah, and, you know, I kind of wrote some more about this morning, and this time in 2011, you know, we're talking about Tony La Russa having somewhat lost the clubhouse. We're talking about his hard, you know, grinding mentality, wearing people down. We're talking about how, you know, maybe a softer touch is needed. Of course, then they turned around at the end of that year and won the World Series. But, you know, the point's still there. It was that idea that after a while, no matter what the managerial style is, you kind of need the opposite to come in, and get people's attention again. And I think we're getting to that point. It feels like you're right that they need somebody that's, if nothing else, gets the respect to the players, and hopefully Matheny still got the respect to most of these guys, but, you know, you gotta wonder about some of these veterans that have played in other spots, especially like Fowler, you know, like Ozuna, like, man, there's not a whole lot of other ones.
There's also some rumors going around, and, maybe it was Mark Saxon who alluded to this, or maybe it was on the Kevin Wheeler show, and he wouldn't say who it was and said, I can't remember, so I'm not gonna attribute that to Mark. But they said that there's some players on this team that when it comes time to do drills, when it comes time to, you know, get into the cage, things like that, the coaches, Oquendo, for instance, they have to go find these guys and make them come. That they're showing up late, they're not showing up at all, they're doing what they want to do. So that kind of stuff is not really Matheny's fault. That's a personality type issue. And if Matheny is as soft as we all think that he is, then he's a doormat. Well, and so.
Yeah. And I mean, but you go back to the rumors, or at least to the discussion I think they're more than rumors. I think it was pretty much basically reported, at least by Bernie or maybe by Derek Gould. You know, when Oquendo was here the first time, he would want to do drills, and the players would go to Matheny and get him to basically override and say, oh no, you don't have to do that. And that's why Oquendo left. He said, you know, he basically got sick and tired of people not wanting to do this. And so the knee surgery was a nice convenient excuse, but, and then when he came back, was one of the ideas was he had that control. If he was going to schedule drills, they were going to do them. And again, it may be like you're saying where, they have to go get the guys to do them. But at least Matheny's not overruling him now. But if he was beforehand, you know, again, that just sets that culture of we don't have to do this or we don't want to do this. And, you know, if we hide out long enough, we don't have to do this. Again, you're right. You can't put it all on Matheny's feet. But at some point in time, it's easier to fire the manager than to fire all the
players. Oh, yeah. Now, the last time I was on, we were talking about this. Wasn't Maddux supposed to have complete control over, like, pitching in the bullpen? And then, like, he would approve Matheny going out there to make a change?
I don't know if it was ever that much. He was definitely supposed to have more control than a normal pitching coach. I still think Matheny might have had the final say, but the idea was he really needed to listen to Maddux and maybe have a good reason for his, you know.
He ain't listening to Maddux.
Yeah, I mean, for the most, I think there are times where I feel like we see some of it, but then there's times where it's like, no, there's not. You know, I think occasionally here and there I've seen some, you know, they, you know, make a move here or they pull somebody there or they, you know, do some sort of matchup and I think, okay. But then, you know, yeah, then Jordan Hicks pitches for 3 days in a row or, you know, crazy things like that. And it's like,
he brings out Bowman all the time, even though he's a gas can.
Right. You know, Bowman gets activated and he's in there three out of his first 4 days and then goes back on the DL. I mean, sometimes, you know, yeah, and I don't know how that dynamic works. I hope that, you know, I was hoping earlier in the year that it was just Max getting his feet under him and figuring out what to do with the personnel, but, you know, get to now to this point and it starts to wonder, yeah, what is he doing? I'm sure he's doing something and I don't want to blame him, for this, the bullpen and the rotation falling into problems, but, you know, you're right. What is that dynamic?
Well, that's one of the questions that have to get answered. Now, I can tell you this: if we talked, you just mentioned you didn't think there'd be a change mid-season. If the rest, because I mean, the for anybody listening that think the Cardinals are just in a slump and it's going to get easy, the schedule doesn't get any easier for a long time, at all. And so basically, they lost to the Brewers last night. They've lost tonight. So at best, they're going to tie this series. So they haven't won a series. When's the last time they won a series?
Oh, goodness. It's the Red Series.
Yeah. Two weeks ago. Two weeks ago. They haven't won a series in 2 weeks. And they keep falling further and further behind. So what? They're six games out tonight. After tonight. Potentially, if they get swept by the Brewers, they'll be 10 games, or not 10 games, they'll be, what, 8.5? 8.5 games back.
Yep.
Sometimes I don't get the half game stuff, or it doesn't work in my head mathematically.
Yeah.
They'll be 8.5 out. And that's just against the Brewers, who honestly aren't that good of a team. They're really not. I expect the Cubs to catch them at some point. Mm-hmm. Then you got the Braves. Who else? The Nationals?
You got the Indians. And then the Braves, and then the Diamondbacks before you play San Francisco in San Francisco, which, you know, the Giants have struggled some, but they're playing a little bit better, and you go out on the West Coast, that's always a problem. So,
potentially, you could see the Cardinals being 10 to 12 games out by the time this is over. I'm kind of getting on a little bit of a rant here. When they had the Royals, when they had, they always beat up on Cincinnati. And I heard some crazy stat. You take out the Cincinnati wins, and they have a horrible record.
Oh, yeah.
A horrible record right now. The Royals, Twins, the Mets. Yeah, the Mets were the Marlins. They should have, like, just blown up on those teams. And I mentioned this in one of my episodes, is they should have gotten on those teams, stepped on their necks, punched them in the eye while looking at the Cubs saying, no, we're coming for you. They didn't do that. They didn't do that. They're just, and that's kind of part of that clubhouse culture too. They get a single, they make a conga line. I mean, what is that?
Lately, it feels like that for sure. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I think it was very telling that they went 4-5 against the Marlins, Reds, and Padres there right before the schedule got tough. Instead of going, you know, 7-2 or whatever they should have gone. And then, you know, since the schedule got tough against the Cubs, what, they've won two and six now against that run, and that's still continuing, mm-hmm. and some really ugly games in there. And now that Philly series, it was interesting because it could have gone either way. They could have won, they could have swept that series, they could have been swept in that series. That was a really back and forth series, and it made me feel like they're pretty much on the Phillies level. But, the Phillies are, three games behind the Brewers and, or the Braves, and they're kind of sitting around, they're playing a little bit better than the Cardinals are, but they're not necessarily the world beaters. So if you're right, even if you're on their level, that didn't tell you a whole lot.
No, in this team, and it's with the strikeouts, what, they've had 60. Do they have any errors tonight?
No, I don't think so, because,
I got the box score pulled up. Yeah, I don't know why I'm looking at it.
No, the Brewers had one, but Cardinals did not have any. They didn't, there weren't too many base runners for the Brewers tonight. So
they've still got 61 errors on the season. That's the most in the majors, if I'm correct. So they're not, and they're running the bases poorly. Yeah. They're striking out. You got players refusing to alter their stances on thing, or like batting, like with Colton Wong, they keep saying he needs to shorten up his swing, cut down on his swing, won't do it. Ozuna, he's starting to heat up a little bit, but he still chases garbage pitches all the time outside the zone. And apparently, the only reason he got a gold glove is because Yelich and Stanton caught all those balls. Ozuna didn't have to catch anything. Yeah. They said, "Oh, he's out there, give him a gold glove." Go ahead.
No, I'm just agreeing with you. Go ahead.
I got to calm down just a second.
it has been a rough week. I mean, Ozuna was player of the week, and then, as soon as he got that award, there was that game in Philadelphia where he tried to make the last-minute dive, and it didn't work. And then last night when he tried to climb the wall and the ball was behind him, it has not looked really good out there, and he hasn't hit much this week either. So it's like it all concentrated at one time and then blew up. It kind of balanced out this week, unfortunately, on the other way.
You know what it kind of looks like when I'm looking at this? The Brewers are very comparable to the Cardinals. They really are, in a lot of different ways. But the Brewers are what the Cardinals would be if everything broke right for the Cardinals. Because, a lot of their players are batting, well, maybe not quite as bad, but, they don't got a guy like Fowler batting a .163 on their team, but they got guys who aren't batting very well. The Cardinals just seem to, I don't know if it's a lack of focus. I don't know what it is. I just know it's incredibly frustrating. And it's not helping out the fans to hear stories, to have Max Scherzer, for instance, come out and talk about how when he was a free agent, he was literally waiting for St. Louis to give him any kind of an offer.
Yeah.
And he probably would have come no matter what it was. And if I remember right, Mo did an interview, and I'm bouncing around here, so I apologize, Daniel, but I thought I remember Mo saying, well, we checked in with him, and it just isn't what we wanted. According to Max, nobody checked in at all.
Yeah, I think the idea at the time, and I'd have to go back and look and see what the rotation looked like then, it was, there's not real spot for him, which I remember writing at the time, sign him and trade Shelby Miller and, sign him and trade somebody and, you need to do that.
Sign him.
Yeah. I mean, you figure it out, sign Max Scherzer and worry about the details later. They didn't want to do that. And at that time, the club was we're not saying that they're really excited about big contracts now, but we've seen them try to go after Price. We've seen them try to go after Hayward. We've seen them try to trade for Stanton. They're a little bit more open to the big, huge contract than they probably were back then. And that's probably why, because they see what they could have had in Scherzer, and now they're trying to chase that down, I think, somewhere along the way. And so far, they haven't had a chance to do that.
That
hurts.
So, not to bring up sour grapes about that or anything, but you get that coming out at the same time when Mo's also saying, this team's good.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry, don't hit the panic button yet. Well, when are you supposed to hit the panic button? When are you supposed to hit the panic button on a team like this that strikes out all the time, they were really only good because of the starting pitching. That's starting to implode now. I still think Miles Michaelis will likely be the best pitcher on this staff by the end of the season. He's had a couple of bloop games, but he's kind of like what Martinez did last year. He typically bounced back. Mm. And I don't know how you don't hit the panic button on this team. And for the people out there saying, hey, you know, just trade for Manny Machado. No, you don't trade for Manny Machado, and here's why. The Cardinals likely aren't going to the postseason, so you're going to give up a haul to get Manny for 2 months, and then he's going to go off to the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to re-sign in St. Louis.
It's very, very unlikely. I mean, there is the argument that, you know, you do the old thing of get him in, and hopefully that helps sign him, but... You know, we've seen that with Hayward, we've seen that with others. It doesn't work like it did with McGuire and Edmonds and Rowland and people like that. It doesn't work.
But Holiday was the last one to do it.
And even Holiday, you know, took forever to re-sign with the Cardinals. I mean, he didn't sign until like January of the next year. He wasn't one that, you know, he did like the area, but it wasn't that he had to be here. He kind of shopped himself around. You know, not like, you know, McGuire signed, I think Edmonds signed, I think maybe even Rowland signed, you know, before the season was over. They're extended, don't even hit free agency. And Holiday didn't do that, but you're right. He's the last one that really, big one that came back. You're right. If you thought the starting pitching was going to hit, it was going to pitch like it did all of the first 2 months, which right now doesn't look like it. But if you thought that, and if you thought the bullpen, you thought you bought into Greg Holland's resurgence, you bought into some of this other stuff, and you thought the bullpen was going to be pretty good, and you thought Manny Machado was your own, you know, the piece that puts you over the top, then you could start making an argument for making the trade. But there's so many other things that this team is going to need.
Oh, yeah.
You're right. You can't afford to trade off two or three top prospects for a guy that, you know, I mean, you can finish third with him and you can finish third without him. I mean, what's the point?
Yeah, the Orioles are going to finish last with him,
mm-hmm,
if he stays. And if you wanted to trade for Machado, you should have done it before the season began,
yeah,
to get a whole season of him. Because I think last time I was on, we talked about this. I said they needed one more bat other than Ozuna. And, you know, they were talking about Machado at the time, and I don't know, we don't know what the specifics of that deal they talked about was. They just said the price was too high. They wanted too much star pitching, which, as we've now seen, you can't have too much pitching. Especially when you're the Cardinals. But it does bring to light a couple of things. It's something that I was thinking about and a little bit worried about. And it's something this fan base, I don't think, is used to seeing. It's not something I've seen in a very long time as a Cardinal fan, but this team isn't far off from going into a halfway rebuilding mode. Not a compete and restock at the same time, but just straight up, we need to get every piece in place that we want to have in place before we make a run. It's getting to that point, because you take a look at the lineup. And don't get me wrong, I love Matt Carpenter, but he's starting to show some signs of regressing. He can only hit in the leadoff spot, and now it seems like he can only hit home runs in the leadoff spot. Bam and Jose Martinez, love them to death, but they're kind of late bloomers, you know? Jose Martinez is 29, almost 30. Ozuna's going to be out of here after next year, most likely, unless he just has another he's not having a garbage year, I shouldn't say that. But he's not having the year he had in Miami. Molina's getting older. Fowler's done as far as I'm concerned, unless he's just doing this to try to get out of town. There's a lot on this team that needs, and it's not just the pitching. The bullpen needs to be upgraded. You gotta get some solid starting pitching that you can trust not to get hurt. And you gotta have a lineup that you can trust at least is gonna hit some and not strike out every chance it gets.
Yeah, I mean, that's the litany. I mean, that's the problem, that you there's not that obvious one peg solution. You go get this guy or wait for this guy to get healthy and everything's going to be better. It just doesn't look like that right now. I think Zach Gifford was writing, I think it was at the Birds of the Black this week, you know, there's not just a whole lot of of interesting trade chips on this team either. I mean, that's one of the reasons that I think that Carlos Martinez's name has come up, not necessarily because people want to get rid of him, it's just because he would bring the most back. Now, again, you're going to trade off Carlos Martinez, you're going into a full rebuild. Oh, yeah. I mean, you might as well sell everything that's not nailed down. So,
The only way you're not is if you... if you're already planning on spending big on a pitcher this offseason, like if not that Clayton Kershaw's, is he still hurt?
I think I just saw he's going to come off the DL like this weekend maybe and pitch
based off this season, I don't think he's going to opt out of that deal.
Yeah.
That's just me.
Yeah.
But you know, getting somebody like that, the only other people on the team you could probably trade, someone might be interested in Jose Martinez, like an American League team or something, because the dude's got no defense. Ozuna, but I feel like you'd be selling low on him. Fowler, you would just be getting him off the team because you're going to have to eat that contract.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Because you're not going to trade people like Jordan Hicks and Jack Flaherty. I mean, they're not, obviously not. That's what you're trying to build for.
Not going to trade Bader.
No, probably not. I mean, maybe at the right, you know, because you do, depending on what you think about Tyler O'Neill, thinking what you think about Oscar Mercado, you know, maybe you could, but you're not going to get just a ton for Bader either. I mean, you're not going to get more than a middle relief type guy, and that's really not, you know, that's not what the Cardinals need. They need Harrison Bader more than they need that.
I take back what I told you earlier, last time I was on too. They should have traded Carson Kelly while they had the chance. Because that guy's not hitting right now either, and, Molina's not going anywhere, and Kelly's just kind of floundering.
It's tough to know what the stock is on Carson Kelly right now. You're right. He struggled so much when he came up. Hitting about 270 with three homers down in Memphis, which is not terrible, but especially out of a catcher spot. But you know, will it translate back to the big leagues? He hasn't necessarily had the big run, you know, a big consistent spot. We thought with Molina going down, he'd get a chance to play every day, and that didn't happen. And when he did, he didn't take advantage of it necessarily. But so I don't know. I don't know what his stock is. You're right, though. It's probably where they should, traded him this offseason, about a lot more for him than they would.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you're Mo, what do you do?
It's a million-dollar question. I think the strongest argument right now is probably just Stan Pat, because I don't know that you can do enough to fix it, which is going to drive everybody nuts, and Twitter will melt down, but I don't know what you can do to fix this team, at least in the short run, and especially, like you said, if they get out 7.5, 8.5 games at the end of this weekend, and they're, you know, the wild card, it could be three or four there, then you start really getting concerned about why should you invest in this team.
I see. I think at the end of this run, if we get towards the middle of July, and they're what, 10, 11, 12 games out.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm Mo, I'm selling what I can.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean Carlos Martinez or anything like that. But Jose Martinez, probably.
Yeah.
I might even just see what you could get for Ozuna, because right now, they're not, I mean, if you're that far out and you got a pretty good idea the team isn't going to get any better, you might as well go ahead and start improving, because I mean, let's go ahead and face it. Are the Cardinals going to be players in the offseason for guys like Bryce Harper? Probably not. And it's not that Bryce couldn't come to St. Louis. It's not that he probably doesn't want to come to St. Louis, but the price tag these guys are going to command, I mean, even as young as he is, it's not somebody I would want to sign to that kind of money, that he's probably going to get. But that's, that leads to the other problem. They don't really have any kind of impact bats in the minor leagues. They got Tyler O'Neill, who's got a lot of power. Patrick Wisdom seems to hit in the minor leagues. I don't know how he hit in the majors, but there's just not a lot coming up on that side. There's a lot of pitching. There's an awful lot of pitching, but I don't know. I mean, I would probably sell for what I could get out of some of those guys, because, what, Jose Martinez, he's not your first baseman long term.
No.
And like I said, he's going to be 30 this year. So he's probably going to be a journeyman type guy anyway.
Yeah, I think no matter what, even if the Cardinals start to make a run, if you can find value for Jose Martinez, you do it. Just because it clears up this roster a little bit. You can play Matt Carpenter at first base all the time and not worry about some of that stuff. It's kind of amazing that we're talking about wanting Carpenter to play first base because his defense is so much better than Jose Martinez's after all the grief we gave Carpenter about his defense at first. But it is significantly better than Jose Martinez's. And, you know, you're right. On an American League team, they could put him at DH. I think there's some value, whether there's a spot that matches up, if there's a place that would take him. I don't know. But I think if anybody calls on him, I think you have to do that because you're right. You don't know what you're going to get out of him the rest of the way. I mean, he's struggling right now. A little bit concerned about whether he's hurt from that collision that he had at the end of the Philadelphia series because I don't think he's got a hit since then, and his swings haven't looked all that great. I mean, maybe I'm just trying to read too much into it, but I'm not 100% sure he's not at least playing through some pain, which again goes back to the discussion we already had. I think you got to do that. I think you got to actively look for that. And I mean, I'm not saying that if somebody's giving you, 10 cents on the dollar, you trade him. But if you can get something of any sort of decent value, I think that's a move you got to make.
What about Colton Wong or Matt Carpenter? Matt Carpenter is not a popular name to throw out about trading, but I mean, there's just a lot of dead weight on this team. And I'm not saying Matt Carpenter is part of that, but you've got to trim it up somehow because there's nothing exciting about this team. Not to me, mm-hmm. Not right now.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. I mean, you look at what people are saying on Twitter, and again, Twitter is its own little thing. It's not necessarily representative.
It's a cesspool.
Yeah, also true. But it's not necessarily representative of the entire fan base because, let's just face it, the Cardinal fan base is older for the most part. Baseball's fan base is older for the most part, not necessarily people that are going to be sitting during the game, with their phone out complaining online. But I think that, there's at least something you can take out of that. If you can find something from Matt Carpenter, you listen to it. I just have a feeling that Matt Carpenter's value is higher with the Cardinals than it is with just about any place else. I don't know how well he works anywhere else. If Colton Wong, I wish this offense was working well enough that you could just put Colton Wong out there every day and just say, you're playing every day, don't worry about it. Cause I think, at times that helps Colton. But unfortunately he hasn't seized that opportunity this year. And with everybody else struggling, it's hard to run a guy out there that's hitting under 200, even though he's got a good glove, because you need all the bats you can get. So, yeah, I think I'd listen on him. I'd listen on Jed Jerko. If somebody wants to go for him, I like Jed. I think he's great for the Cardinals, but it's part of that roster clutter that you kind of need to do something about. And I've thought we need to do something about it for a couple of years now. I'd listen on him. There's very few, I think, that you wouldn't at least listen on. And I just don't know how much interest you're going to get from anybody on those guys.
You'd probably get some interest on Pham.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're that far out, mm-hmm. I mean, you got to look at that too. Cause, and again, nothing against the guy, but one, he may have a clubhouse problem based on that article from Sports Illustrated. He may be carrying a grudge about that. Number one. Number two, he's also a bit older. He's not 23, 24, 25, and he does have health problems too. So this, for all anyone knows, this could be the best year that he has. And it might be, but he may not. He may go on to play another 4 or 5 years just being awesome. It's a risky take, but if you can get good value out of it, why not?
Yeah, I mean, cause you're right. I mean, if Pham's right at 30 right now, and a little over, and he is a very talented player, but with all those injuries in the past, he's at a cheap rate this year. He's under team control next year. Then he can go to arbitration. I mean, he's not a free agent until 2022 when he would be, what, 34, 35? I mean,
yeah.
And he's not, by that time, if he's still in the league and playing well, I mean, he's obviously going to be on the, should be on the downside of his career by then. Probably won't make much money. He's never going to make the money that he could have with his talent because of his hurt, his injuries. I think that if you have, if you're out of it, if you're sure you're out of it this year, then yeah, I think you can. And I think death works for both sides. If you can get good quality, and being that he is a good talent at a low price, in theory, you should be able to bring back, you know, some good prospects or something for him. But you're also signaling to your fan base that this season is over if you do that.
Let me ask you this then. So let's say they know they're out of it, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to be super pessimistic to anybody listening, but you know they're out of it. And they trade Pham, but let's say they also go ahead and fire Matheny. Do you think that satisfies them for the rest of the season, knowing that that's, you don't have to deal with that anymore going forward or next season?
If it satisfies who? The fan base?
The fan base, yeah. Because, I mean, they're out for blood right now.
Yeah. I think that it would. I think, but that also tells you, yeah, they're playing out the string this year. And, you know, depending on what they do, you know, do they promote Shield? Do they put up Kendo in there? You know, whatever they do. But yeah.
Stubby Clapp.
Yeah. I think Stubby is a really good, representation of that backup quarterback syndrome where everybody looks great until you get him. I'm not saying that he's a bad manager. Don't get me wrong. He's obviously doing great stuff in Memphis. I just don't know. Everybody thinks he'd come up here and just, you know, be, you know, flip the switch and they'd just take off. And I don't know that any manager does that. I think it's the biggest, maybe it's the biggest thing I'm getting at. But
hey, I still think you put in a call to Mark McGwire and just see.
Yeah. The only problem with Mark is, and I have no problem with him, you know, obviously. I think he has really expressed that interest to staying in California with his family. Maybe St. Louis is enough to pull him away from that, but, you know, that's why he left St. Louis as a hitting coach to go out to the Dodgers. He wanted to be, you know, that he had, I think right about that time he had triplets or something like that, so those kids mm-hmm. are, what, 4 or 5 years old. You know, I doubt he wants to uproot them and move them to St. Louis, but, you know, in a vacuum, yeah, I think that's a very interesting call, especially as he's moved up to bench coach and he would definitely be well received here, at least for a while, you know, because until the first losing streak, I guess. Go ahead.
Interesting story about it. I didn't know this, and I consider myself a pretty good Cardinals fan. I didn't realize that he turned down a big money deal from the Cardinals to retire mm-hmm. in 2001. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they had the contract. He just didn't sign it. Basically, he didn't feel like he could play anymore.
How different would that would have been to have him and Pujols on the same team for like 2 or 3 more years? That would have been nuts if he was still doing what he was doing, which obviously he wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I feel like he is going to manage at some point. And I think if he was going to be the manager of the Cardinals, he might come out and do that. But I feel like too, you know, you take a look at when he was a hitting coach, the players were hitting.
Mm-hmm.
They were crushing the ball. And even after Pujols left, well, it was 2013, they went back to the series. And that's when they had that ridiculous number with guys in scoring position. It was like 450 or something, or no, 385. It was something nuts.
Yeah, but that was Mabry, though. I mean, McGwire did 12, and then he left. So, I mean, granted.
Was he not there in 13?
No, he managed in 11 under La Russa. And then, well, I say that. I better look it up.
He came in 2010. I'm pretty sure he was there in 13. He left in 14.
I thought he was only there 1 year under Matheny, but I'll double check that. But you may be right. I start thinking I know what something, and I usually don't. So, anyway, keep going.
So you take, and that's something else. I see people talk about this on Twitter. We've not mentioned it. You know, that may be the last thing the front office does before they fire Matheny is getting rid of Mabry. And, of course, Mabry probably still only has a job because of Matheny, number one.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're right. He was only with St. Louis through 2012.
Yeah, okay.
So 2012 must have been when they did that, because he was a hitting coach when that happened.
I thought it was 13 too, though, that they had. But see, that was just such a random flukish thing that it's hard to assign that to anybody, because, you know, it was like historic, and then the next year it evened out. So I think that was somewhat luck, which would probably explain Mabry.
yeah, the bad luck being Mabry, yeah, then you got Mabry as a hitting coach.
Go ahead.
Anyway, all I'm saying about that is, and I read an article by Bernie too that, that you can no longer put all the blame on Matheny, because at this point, you got to put it on the front office, because Matheny is Mo's boy.
Mm.
And now I've also read somewhere else that when Jocketty was leaving, that it came down to Lunhow and Mazaliak, and DeWitt picked Mazaliak over Lunhow.
Yeah, because and the reason that they went that way is they felt, and I think it was probably accurate, that Mazaliak was best at bringing the two sides of that front office together, the stats and the scouting. You know, Lunhow had rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, the way he came up, and I think, you know, it was difficult to do that. And they kept Lunhow for a while until he had a chance to go to Houston, and that makes sense. But Mozeliak was able to tie both halves together, and it's, for the most part, worked. I mean, I don't know how well Lunhow, obviously he did a very good job drafting, there's no doubt about it, but he's also had a benefit in Houston of drafting very, very early. You know, we'll see how long they're able to continue this, although they've got really good players to do it. Eventually those players are going to become an issue. But yeah, I think that was the biggest thing. It was, you know, because Bill DeWitt, you know, kind of picked Lunhow out of nowhere. I mean, you know, he wasn't even in baseball, and they brought him in. And then when Jocketty couldn't get along with Lunhow in that new age of stats, that's when they fired Jocketty, because they were going to go in that direction. But they wanted more of that middle road, and that's why they went with Mozeliak.
And that's something else to keep in mind, too. When people, and I'm not advocating firing Mozeliak at all, or Mozeliak, however you pronounce his last name. You know, I always look back fondly on the 2004 season as one of my favorites. Not only were the Cardinals amazing that year, with the MV3 and stuff, and in 2005 and 2006 and all that, but what a lot of people don't remember is Jocketty basically mortgaged the farm to bring in half those guys, and they weren't all hits. Mark Mulder was like, he was he's a great pitcher. He was a great pitcher, but he was toast.
Yeah.
As soon as he came to St. Louis, Isringhausen was good. What, for 2 or 3 years? And something else that blows my mind, and I know I'm being scattered brain, is I always think that Edmunds, Pujols, and Rollins were together like forever.
Mm-hmm.
Rollins was only there like 4 years.
Yeah.
Like 4.5 years. Edmunds was there for a good long time. What, 7 years or 8 years? 2000, 2007?
Yeah.
So that may be part of it too. When I take a look at this current team, is they got to find a group of core, and that's a problem for every team. Mm-hmm. Got to find a group of core guys and find a way to keep them together. Some good leadership.
Yeah. Well, and again, this run of Cardinal baseball, and you can go all the way back to 96, but most definitely it runs from 2001 on. You know, that biggest chunk had Albert Pujols anchoring mm-hmm. the lineup, and you don't find a Pujols everywhere. Don't get me wrong, that's just difficult to do, but having that anchor, that star, at least one, and of course most of that team had, like you said, the MV3, and then they had Edgar Renteria, and they had, you know, it was a stacked lineup, and Walt Jocketty approached building a team different than John Mozeliak did. I don't think Walt Jocketty's way works as well anymore as it did back then. You're not going to get, you don't get an Edmunds for a Bottenfield anymore. People are smarter than that. But they don't have that core guy. I mean, Matt Carpenter is a good player, but, you know, that's what we've talked about forever. They need the big star. They need the big stud. And they thought Osuna was going to be that. And he has shown flashes of that recently. And maybe he can develop into that. But even so, I think, like you said, they need that big. But that's why it'd be nice to get Mercado. You're right. I don't think they should right now. And I don't think they're going to be able to go out and sign him. But if you could get him or a Harper and lock him up for 7 or 8 years and know that you're going to you know, probably get at least 4 or 5 good years out of him, which, you know,
well,
you don't know. I think that's huge if they can do it, but if they can.
Outside of, say, Mike Trout, Harper, Machado, Stanton, and that maybe not even Stanton to the degree of the other three.
Right.
Who are the big stars in baseball? Who are those big anchors in the lineups? There, I mean, what, Goldschmidt's really kind of struggling this year.
Yeah.
I don't hear anyone really talking about Buster Posey.
No.
There's just not a lot out there at the moment. So I don't know who you get besides developing someone yourself. Could the Cardinals go out and get Bryce Harper? Yeah. Is Bryce Harper probably going to go to St. Louis? No, because that's the other issue St. Louis has is getting stars in today's day and age. And it's not because St. Louis is a bad baseball town or even a bad team. Despite all evidence to the contrary this season, typically they're a really good, typically it's a good team to play for. You get guys like Harper, and golly, it sounds like I'm passing judgment on the dude, but I mean, it's hard not to listen to the way he talks. He's a young guy who's making millions. He's going to make potentially $500 million. He's going to go to New York. He's going to go to LA. He's going to go somewhere like that. He's not going to St. Louis. He's not going to go to Chicago. I don't even think Theo would pull the trigger on a deal like that. That's kind of where the players are these days. It's very much a me. I'm here for me. I'm here for my money, and I want to be in the spotlight. You're going to be in the spotlight in LA. You're going to be in the spotlight in New York. That's about it.
That's true. I do wonder, although I don't know that he would. I think you're right. I do wonder if Harper might be that rare guy that kind of transcends the sport. He's been around since he was, 16 or whatever, on the front cover of Sports Illustrated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he is already in a national media campaigns, even out of Washington. I mean, obviously, Washington's a big, at least an important market. I don't know what the size of it is, but that is a very important market. I wonder if, especially if somebody goes out and makes him the highest paid player in baseball or highest paid player in baseball history, if it doesn't matter where he's at, he's still going to draw a lot of that attention. But you're right. If he's going to maximize what he can do, I mean, he can make a ton of money in advertising and all that kind of stuff if he comes to St. Louis. But if he wants to maximize that, yeah, New York. And mm-hmm. That's what we saw with Stanton. That's why Stanton wanted to go to New York. He wanted that exposure that he couldn't get in the middle of the country. So
how's he doing this season so far?
They put up a graphic during the game tonight, showed all of course, you know, Ozuna and Yelich are playing against each other. I want to say he's hitting like 250, and he's got about 17, 18 home runs.
So he's on pace where he was last year, because he had about 18 this time last year.
Yeah, and then he had that amazing second half, I think, that I don't know if he can duplicate that, but I know he had a big walk-off, just a couple days ago, I think like the longest home run in StatCast, longest walk-off home run in StatCast history or something like that.
Well, you're talking about guys who transcend the sport. Harper could do it because he's got the personality. I don't know that Trout could. I love Trout because he keeps his head down. He just goes about his business.
Yeah.
And just does his thing and does it very, very well. And he's a much better player than Harper, in my opinion. But, you know, the last guy to really transcend the sport was McGuire with the home run race. Him and Sosa both, and Bonds to an extent, but you haven't, you're right. I don't know if Harper would do that. If Harper could do that, St. Louis would be a place where he could thrive. Me, in my wildest dreams, the Angels begin to, they're having some success right now, but they begin to flame out over the next couple of years, and they put Trout on the trade market, and they call up St. Louis and say, "We're sorry for taking Pujols, have Trout." So that's not going to happen.
No, because it would take basically, the starting lineup to try to trade for Trout, at least the way he's playing.
We'll trade you the Memphis Redbirds.
Yeah.
You can have the whole team. Give us Trout.
Literally sign over the deed, you know.
We'll sell them to you.
That's right. So, and that may be about what it would take the way Trout plays. I don't know. I mean, again, it's kind of a moot point because it's very difficult to see even as much as this team has struggled. Now, I will say that if they go into this offseason and they actually spent the money to get a Bryce Harper into this, you know, enough to get him in, that would wipe away a lot of fan
the taste of this season, for
yeah,
sure.
Absolutely. The last few years, the idea that they're not spending money, all this kind of thing. A lot of that goes away.
I don't know how they can't spend money at this point, though, because there's literally, outside of pitching, there's nothing coming up at the farm.
Yeah. But there's not necessarily just a whole lot, and I'd have to look. I mean, it's some very big names are coming up this offseason with Donaldson, and, you know, maybe Kershaw if he opts out. Or
I hope they don't get Donaldson. That dude, I know everyone yeah. talks about trade for him right now, too, mm-hmm. and I'm like, no.
No, I'm not a big on that either. But you know, it's a name that's out there, and there's four or five, six of those guys. But then after that, I don't know what the market looks like.
Well, you got Moustakas, and honestly, if they were going to trade for anybody this year, mm-hmm. I wouldn't be against Moustakas. I really wouldn't.
Yeah.
The change of scenery, you know, you got off that hot start. He might be able to help you out a little bit. And it's not going to take a lot to get him. I mean, it ain't going to take nothing to get him, and it might get the fan base somewhat, at least a little bit excited. A little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, that's right, and he is, you know, what's he doing this year? He's got 14 homers, hit mm-hmm. 263, 800 OPS.
The rest of this year is not a multi-year deal.
No.
I mean, you probably get him for nothing.
We wouldn't think it would be much, depending on who all's interested in him. Maybe so. Again, it depends on if they want to invest in this team, because again, you know, bringing in Moustakas, it'd be really kind of weird to have a Michaelis and Moustakas and a lot of that.
Well,
you get that double M thing going again like they used to do.
And I know we got to wrap it up here pretty quick, but let me ask you one last thing. What about this Kelvin Herrera trade that the Nationals got him for basically nothing? Don't you think you wish St. Louis had called him up and said, hey, call us. Mm. We need that.
Yeah, I mean, there's some of that. I wonder if the Nationals just, you know, sprung it, you know, again, that's much earlier, and we've heard John Mozeliak talk about the market doesn't really form until beginning of July. It's very early for that kind of trade to happen, and, you know, maybe, you know, of course it was what, three, four players? You know, maybe they needed the quantity as well, but, it is surprising that, and it didn't sound like there were that many teams in on it right now anyway. It sounds like maybe, you know, I don't know if anybody else had a formal offer out there. It's kind of surprising that Kansas City went so early on that. I don't know that maybe they just felt like they'd get a better deal now than at the deadline, but that was a little surprising. It would have been nice to see St. Louis get in on that, but, you know, they got to figure out their bullpen right now. They're still trying to see, you know. We've seen the last couple of days with Greg Holland looking like a guy that was worth $14 million. You know, if Greg Holland's back to that, you know, maybe they don't need as much. I mean, you've seen Holland pitch, you pitched on pitch against the Phillies. What do you think? I mean, is this for real?
I would like to think so. He didn't have to go down to the minor leagues as long as he did. He didn't have to do a rehab start at all if he didn't want to, based on his contract. I think it probably is real. I think he just had some issues to work through, and he probably did what a lot of these players need to do, and it's just like, listen, I'll let you know when I'm ready. This time, for real, I'll let you know when I'm ready. I sure hope it's real, because if it's not, I know he's only there for this year, but they are. He's got to be probably one of the most important pieces in that bullpen. Because Bowman's a gas can, Cecil's a gas can, Hicks is good, Brevy is, well, for the most part, Brevy is showing some pretty good stuff. Mm-hmm. Bud Norris is good, but they need Holland to be good, because, you know, talking about Norris, I really feel like, even though I gave him so much crap before the beginning of the season, he has been excellent. He has been a stopper for that team. But how long can that continue? And he's starting to show some signs that maybe it's, you know, slipping a little bit. So Holland better be for real. And I feel like even if this is just some early success, I don't think he's going to be what we saw when he initially came up. He did miss all spring training too, so.
This is true, as we're continually reminded. I mean, if you can run a late inning bullpen of a Holland that works Hicks and Norris, you gotta feel pretty good about it. I mean, that's kind of what I looked at like tonight. It was like, hey, if the Cardinals take that 1-0 lead into the seventh inning, you know, and you have to turn it over to those three guys right now, you think there's a good chance they could get that done. Now, you know, they didn't, and then Holland Norris winds up giving a home run to Aguilar to lose the game, which I didn't see that pitch. We were getting ready to start here, but you know, the first home run that Aguilar hit was like in the dirt, so I don't know if I should fault Norris for what that was or not.
How do you not bring Holland into that moment, by the way? But did he already come in?
No, he hadn't pitched because it was Flaherty pitched 7, Hicks pitched the 8th, and then Norris pitched the 9th. And that, I think that they're still a little leery about putting Holland into some, you know, hugely high leverage situations. Now, the first game he came into, you know, he was warming up when they were behind, and they wound up taking the lead, and he was just ready to go, though they had to. The game he pitched, I want to try and remember the second game he pitched in Philadelphia. I think it was tied, if I remember. I think it was 3-3 at that time. So it's a little surprising, but I'm guessing they didn't necessarily want to put him in the 9th, but yeah, I mean,
that is surprising because they run Bowman out there every chance they get, despite what he does.
This is true, and I mean, but I don't know. I don't know why they're being. Of course, maybe it's just trying to be, you know, good for him and good for the team, and make sure he's really ready.
You know what? I think I got this figured, and I'm saying this half jokingly, but kind of half not too. It could be Matheny's looking at it. He's like, Holland's going to be out of here after next year. Bowman needs the innings. Well, I'm serious.
I think Matheny has gotten this idea that Bowman is, one, a double play guy, which he's not. And he's just that guy that he can rely on. He's going to go out there and
ruin the game.
Throw a good inning. He thinks he's going to throw a good inning. And sometimes he does, because there's stretches where Bowman is really good. Then there's stretches where he's really not. And then this year, again, you know, Bowman goes back on the DL this week because he's got a situation where he's losing feeling in his hands. He's, you know, it sounds like it's, you know, I forgot what the Raynon syndrome or whatever, but it sounds like it's one of those things where the blood vessels constrict and he can't, you know, he's getting numb fingers. He can't feel this. He probably shouldn't have been out there Monday, but of course, you know, either he's not telling anybody or whatever the case may be.
Matheny's walking out there telling all the bullpen pitchers, you all will be Chris Carpenter. You'll pitch through the pain and you'll come when called.
Yeah, and that's, you know, and of course a guy like Bowman, third year in the league, he's not going, you know, good chance he's not going anywhere after St. Louis necessarily, or he might bounce around a little bit, but he needs to play. He wants to play. And he tried to get through it, and it obviously didn't work, and, you know, who knows what we'll see him again. I don't know. You know, the Cardinals are talking about Leon being ready soon, Gregerson being ready soon, Lyons being ready soon. Whether that's good or not, I guess this depends on your point of view.
I was about to say, of those three, who do you trust the most?
Well, I shouldn't go against the patron pitcher of the blog, Tyler Lyons, but if Dominic Leon is healthy, if they really have, you know, if he's really healthy, I know he struggled a little bit earlier, but I think I'm very excited to see what he could bring. So that's probably my guess.
You know, I've actually got to go with Lyons on this one. And I mean, I know he has his own struggles too, but at the same time, when I've seen Lyons be good, it's like, he's like, oh, that's the kind of guy they need for an inning, an inning and a third or whatever it is. Nothing wrong with Leon. I love Leon. Gregerson, I'm just kind of, I don't know about him. He might be who I thought Bud Norris was going to be.
That's possible. And that, you know, but even Lyons, and it may be Gregerson, I feel like it takes smart usage of them. My feeling, and again, I'm very biased for Tyler Lyons, but my feeling is on Lyons this year that he has pitched too much, too often, too many times in a row, and they're using him as a lefty specialist. He needs to, like, be this guy that pitches the seventh inning and pitches every couple of days or whatever, instead of just, you know, little chunks of innings. And Gregerson, you know, I think he can be effective maybe, you know, in those sixth inning low leverage situations. You don't want to bring him into the eighth inning or whatever, but maybe he can be good in some of those other situations. But, you know, it kind of gets back to what we were talking about earlier with, you know, Mike Maddux and Mike Matheny. You know, do you trust Mike Matheny to run this bullpen that these guys get the best out of them? And I don't know that either one of us do.
I trust Mike Maddux. I don't trust Mike Matheny for nothing, to be completely honest with you. It's, you know, and to wrap this up, because I think if people have heard me talk about my own podcast, I got a pregnant wife, so I'm sure she's wondering where I am. We got nursery building tomorrow. It's going to be so much fun.
There you go.
It's, when I sit there and I take a look at this team, and all joking aside, there is a lot of changes that have to be done. And it starts, honestly, it starts with Matheny. And I don't want to be that guy that roots for someone to lose his job, because I do like Matheny as a person. But it's got to start with him, because I think right now they need a little bit more Tony La Russa and a little less Matheny. They need, you know, someone to come in there and kick him in the pants is essentially what it is. Because I feel like if you could get someone in there and really wrangle this team together and, like, really get somebody in, like, a real authoritative kind of dude, kind of like what happened with the Red Sox. Now, I know the Red Sox ended up shipping out half their team. That was a problem with the whole beer and chicken stuff. Right. But you bring somebody in there like that, I think this team probably performs a little bit better. Somebody they get. I'm not saying they don't respect Matheny, but it's almost like that parent who's too worried about being their kid's friend as opposed to being a parent.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the number one change they got to make. And I hate to say that, because that when you start turning over managers, and we should all sit back, by the way, and really think about the fact that he's been a manager for 7 years. He's been a manager for half as long as Tony La Russa was. And Tony La Russa felt like he was there forever. He was only there 16 seasons, and Matheny's nearly halfway there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that blows my mind. I don't even want to talk about how fast time goes by. Pujols has been gone nearly 8 years.
Yeah.
So it's... But that's kind of where it's at. You got to start up top with Matheny. You got to trade. You know, if you got some bad personalities, you got to do what Boston did. You got to trade them out. Whether that's Pham, whether that's Fowler, whether it doesn't matter who it is. If it's somebody who's really bringing down the clubhouse, I don't care how talented Carlos Martinez is or how talented, I don't know, any of them are.
Mm-hmm.
They got to go.
Yeah.
Especially in a place like St. Louis, because to me, I feel like St. Louis is more of a It holds baseball tradition in a higher regard than, say, the Astros, just for an example. And so that's just where I stand.
Yeah, it really feels like it's getting to that breaking point. Again, that game last night was just a disaster. And to see that, and again, we've seen a position player pitch twice this month. They're not necessarily, I mean, tonight they did, but they're not really competing against some of these, better teams. It's ugly. And at some point in time, you gotta make that move. And, we'll see how it works out. But anyway, we have run long, and, I don't want to get in trouble with Moose's wife. so we will start to wrap it up. But before we go, Moose, tell them where they can find you. Tell them all about your show and all that stuff.
Oh, well, first of all, I'm thinking about thanks for having me on. It's been a lot of fun. I didn't do a single show this week. I did like three in a row last week because I'm so inconsistent. I keep thinking I'm gonna do a bunch of these shows in a row, but then something, life always pops up and prevents me from doing it. But no, I'm everywhere you can find podcasts. Just search 2 for 3. It should pop up. If you search for like St. Louis Cardinals podcast, it ought to pop up. It's on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. It's part of the Grueling Truth Sports Network, something like that. iHeartMedia, Spotify, anywhere you can find it. It's all there.
Cool deal. Yeah, definitely go find it. Go subscribe. Drop Moose a rate and review on the sites. And like I say, you gotta realize that life is there for him, especially right now with everything. So it may be a little sporadic, but when he gets it, it's good stuff. So we're glad you were able to join us tonight, and look forward to doing it again sometime.
Yeah, we got something big coming up, I think, with a bunch of people.
We do. We're gonna do as we have the last couple of years. We've done the All-Star Roundtable, where we get people from different podcasts together. We'll probably put that over on the Conversations with C70 label, but we'll have that out. It'll be right at the All-Star break, so we're looking at, you're still 3 or 4 weeks from that, but that should be a lot of fun, and probably a lot of griping and complaining, because that's just what this season has brought to us.
Maybe they'll fire Matheny by then. They'll have all these trades, and it'll be a completely different thing.
Could be.
Who knows?
Could be. You never know. I mean, anything's possible. So, until next week, Alan should be back, and I think for the first time in a few weeks, it'll be just him and I doing this. So we look forward to his return. But until then, for Moose, I'm Daniel. Good night.
Sooner from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss, and that's a winner! That's a winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!